The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find the full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
For listening to Absolute Radio Country, where real music matters, I'm very excited because I have someone with me on the show that I haven't seen for a couple of years, and the last 2 years have been incredible for this artist. Her name is Ashley Cook. Ashley, welcome to Absolute Radio Country. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm genuinely so happy for you because last time we saw each other was the CMA Songwriters Series, the night before Country to Country.
Yeah.
And your debut album, I think it was just out or coming out. I mean,
I don't even think it was out then. So it's crazy what all has changed since then. It's wild. It's been a crazy journey for sure.
I mean, you just got off the London Underground and you were really excited to get on the Jubilee line. And I was a bit like, okay.
I think that was like right when it was rush hour in the London Underground. And so we were like sardines packed in there. It was my first time ever being in that. And I was like, what is happening? But you got to do it. You got to experience it one time while you're in London. It was beautiful and so fun.
Yeah, I felt like a grumpy Brit because I was like, oh, that's not fun for us. But anyway, since then, you've had your huge number one, Your Place. I'm so happy for you personally. How has life changed for you since you had your number one?
It's pretty crazy how everything feels like it changes and everything else feels like it doesn't change. Does it make sense? Like, you start to see more people singing along at shows. And, you know, like, for example, I opened up for George Davis last year on tour, and getting to be in the first of three slot, like opening for the opener, basically, and having the whole arena sing your song back to you. That's a really special, cool feeling. So it's definitely changed in the sense of like awareness. Like, I think a lot more people know the song. They know how to sing along. When for the longest time in my set, I was constantly proving myself, like, you know, hoping that they would know the words or hoping that maybe they would have found it on a playlist or something. So it definitely changed a lot in regards to people just knowing the words to my music, which is a huge deal as a young artist. So that's huge. And also just being on a tour bus is a big change, and it's so fun to get to do. And sometimes I miss the van days, but also at the same time, it's fun to get to, you know, get a full night of sleep. And now my puppy's on the bus with me. I just got a puppy a couple months ago. So yeah, I mean, it feels like a lot has changed, and it also feels like everything is similar. And I think that I hope that it stays that way. You know, I think I often hear about people on rocket ships happen overnight and everything changes so drastically. And I think, I don't know if I would do super well with that. So it's kind of nice to get to have a career where the momentum is continuous, but it's not out of nowhere, this shoot and then down. It just kind of feels like it's like steadily growing, which I would so much rather. And I'm so thankful that's kind of how it's been going.
That's the most grounded answer I've ever heard in my life. That's so cool. It's like, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you had the big number one party, I imagine. You've got the plaque already, maybe. But is there anything that you sort of did for yourself or bought yourself? Like, you sort of promised yourself when you got your number one, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, so the song is called Your Place. And so I bought a house. I bought my own place.
Wow.
I bought my first house top of last year. So the song hadn't gone number one yet, but I found this house that I was obsessed with. And I was like, all right, I'm banking on it going number one. I'm hoping it'll go number one. So it was kind of like a manifestation more than anything. I was like, okay, I'm going to buy a house and hope that this all works out. Very, very, very kind of weird way of doing it. But yeah, I bought a house and I got a dog. I guess those are the two things that are different and changed that I did since number one. So
that's a country song there, isn't it? Bought a house, bought a dog.
Bought a house, bought a dog. Yep. 100%.
Just to check, you can't get a mortgage approved with like a potential number one. You can't sit there and say, this is going to go number one, approve my mortgage.
Guys, I swear this is going to happen.
No. Okay, well, give me
I don't know. I don't know how that all worked out, to be honest with you. Stuff, but let's just, you know, we banked on it and it happened, so.
It's also been a multi-week number one on our chart over here in the UK as well, so congratulations for that. You've got so many fans over here. You were here touring with Jordan Davis last year. Are you coming back by yourself?
I'm really hoping to soon. We've had a interesting year of routing because I'm also working on album two at this time, and so it's interesting to, you know, have to structure how I want to do everything and going where I need to go. And we're going to Australia this year, which will be fun.
Oh, wow.
But I love the UK. I love it so much. It's my favorite place to tour, truly. And I don't tell America or anywhere else.
Okay.
It's like a place to tour, truly, because it just feels like people, they just care. Like, they really care, and they show up and they know the words. And I've said that time and time again, but it's the truth. Like, they just dig in and they become fans from that moment. And it's special. So I hope soon. We're working on kind of a timeline on when that's going to happen, but stay tuned.
Oh, people will be so excited. It's so interesting you say that as well, because, you know, I've been releasing music in my band for 10 years, and I take it for granted that, you know, even when we started, people knew the words to all the album tracks. And when you're talking about, you have to almost go number one for people to know your song. I mean, it's just such a weird thing for me in a way.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just because of, like, just the difference in, like, population. I don't know what it is, or, like, you know, the way that it's all spread out. But it is kind of crazy, you know, when you're playing in America, if you have a number one song, they all will know that song. But, like, the album cuts, it's a little, you're more likely to get people in the door to buy tickets if you have, like, one song that they know.
Yeah.
Which is exciting, it's why we're all so excited about, like, number one songs and all the stuff that happens. But in the UK, it feels like they'll maybe find you from that one song. But if they're like, oh, I want to know more about this artist, if I'm going to buy a ticket. And if they buy a ticket, or their friend buys a ticket and they go, they want to know all the stuff you're going to play. They want to understand your set list and be able to sing along and be familiar, which is just a very unique fan base over there. And it's so special. And I could not love it more.
And that is hard, like, being a fan of yours, because you had 24 songs on your debut record. So learning all those songs is tricky. I mean, when you're writing an album, so we've released sort of 10 to 12 tracks on an album. And I found, in my experience, that's kind of like 40 or 50 songs I've had to write to get the best 10 or 12. How many do you write to get 24 songs?
Quite a lot. I mean, people always say that your debut album is basically, you know, your whole life up to that point of writing music. So it kind of felt like that for me. I wrote a lot of those songs pretty close to when I cut them. So that isn't totally track in my case, but I'm a songwriter first. I've always been a songwriter first. And so I wrote a lot of music, and it was one of those things that my label and I had talked about. And I was like, you know, I have this fan base that I built on social media that I haven't been able to really give them music, even though they've been following me for years. And so we kind of were like, all right, let's just roll with these songs. None of these feel like they don't belong on a project. But I will say, as much as I love that process, this next album, I'm planning on like a 10 to 12 track list. not because I didn't love it. I just feel like, I don't know. I want to just zoom in a little more and make it like a concept album, less so than a bunch of songs that I love that I've written that relate to me, and more so a snapshot into my life right now. So yeah, that's kind of what we're working on now. But I don't know. I mean, I would highly recommend 24 songs as your debut album, but I also wouldn't. I don't know. It was kind of like a, I don't regret it, but I also see why people have not done that in the past. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Of course. I mean, I love the fact you say you're a songwriter first as well, because particularly on your TikTok and your Instagram, you're so real on there, and you're not playing a character, and it is all about the songs, and you can see you love sort of just making music and writing songs. Like, there's a song on your album called Next to You, which I think you wrote by yourself. And yeah. I thought everything that's going on in your life right now, that song seems quite apt, talking about all the stuff you're going through, all the, you know, amazing stuff, but just having that one person. And that song just really stuck out for me on the record. And, you know, if you have 24 songs, you can have moments like that.
I think that's the thing that I wanted to make sure that project had, but also every project. I mean, even just thinking about the songs that are being talked about being cut for this next project, you know, that's kind of a snapshot into me as a person with Next to You. And a lot of this next project has a lot more of that, where it just kind of feels like almost like word vomit or like a diary entry with it. And it's, I mean, it's important, because not that songs that sound like radio hits are not extremely valuable, because they are, but I think that a project needs to have a spectrum of different kinds of things that maybe don't belong on the radio, but somebody, you know, listening to that with their person in bed at 7 o'clock in the morning before a busy day of work, or after a crazy day of performing or whatever it is. It's like people want a soundtrack to their lives. They don't want just, you know, one type of song, I guess is the way to say it. So
100%. I think country does that. And yeah, I think your album has that sort of the light and shade, which I absolutely love. Tour bus, like you mentioned at the start, you're on a tour bus now. I mean, I know what that feels like. What does it feel like for you, though? You're like, it looks quite comfortable from this sort of Zoom I can see.
it's awesome. Actually, this is our second day on our new bus for this year. And it's just the best, I swear. I mean, you know, like I said, sometimes I do miss the van days. We went from like minivans where my guitar player was renting them because I wasn't old enough to rent them. We went from like those days to then like the church van days, and then like the Sprinter van days. And we kind of did all of it, and we were sleeping on the van benches in between shows, and honestly just had the best time. And I feel like there's one thing that I would say about the bus life is don't jump too fast, truly, because I was just so eager to get in a bus. I was like, let's do it. And I love being on it now, but I forever and always will cherish the moments that we spent grinding, chasing a tour bus, you know, on different dates, just going from place to place. And made so many memories in my band, and I got so close, and we're like a family on the road because of those days. So I love it. It's great. I mean, again, like my dog can come with me now, and we have a bed back here, and I have a closet, and it's so nice to get to actually feel like I have like a little home, and I can kind of survive better on the road and for long periods of time. But yeah, I think that every phase is really important, and I think that we've spent about, what, 3 years in a van.
Wow.
So we spend 10 plus years in a van, you know, and so I'm fortunate that I got to jump to a bus after 3 years, but I definitely love those days too.
And are you good on the road? Do you enjoy being on the road, or are you more a homebody? What do you sort of prefer?
I think I find home wherever I'm at. So I think I'm more of a road person. I mean, obviously I love my house. I bought my house and I love it so much, and it's the coziest, most amazing place. But I think I grew up like traveling all over the country with my dad's job and entertainment and all the stuff that me and my sister were getting into young. So I think I just never really felt like that sense of like home being a place. It was more so my family or a certain like scent that I spray in the room, or you know, a candle or whatever it is, my dog now, like things that feel like home on the road. So I think I was kind of meant for this life, which is a really good problem to have. So yeah, I mean, I love it, but it's definitely home on the road.
Oh, your dog, I'm going to say Chance. I think you said Chance, wouldn't you, I guess?
Thanks, yeah.
He is the cutest. Is it true you spent New Year's Eve with him?
I did. It was just us two. I usually spend New Year's Eve with my family. But so I came back home with my family, went to bed at like 9 p.m. because they were like, we're tired, whatever. It's New Year. Cool. Happy New Year. Like, fine. They watched like the Brazil ball drop or something, because they were like, woo, it's New Year.
The Brazil was, like, ball drop. What's that?
I think, or not the ball drop, whatever they do, like the like fireworks over the ocean.
Oh, okay, cool.
They watched that, and then they went to bed at like 9. And so I just went back to my house, and me and Chance watched the ball drop together. The sun out.
Wow. Very quickly before you go, Ashley, we're asking all of our artists about the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
You played the Opry at the start of you. How many times have you played there now?
Ooh, I want to say like seven or eight. I think.
Do you remember your first time?
I do.
What was it like?
I was terrified. I won't lie. And I don't really get nervous before shows, but I feel, I mean, just like the appropriate amount of like excitement, but I was truly nervous for the Opry. I think there's just this element of like honor, I guess, walking into that circle that you now have all of these legends that have made this thing what it is on your shoulders. And this amazing thing that they've created is because of people that have played music in that circle. And so you're now stepping into that. It's this big like weight of just like shoes to fill, I guess is the way to say it. But now, you know, that was the first time. The first time I was definitely very nervous. And I remember pacing around the backstage of like trying to figure out what I was going to say and how I was going to say it. Because also the Opry, it's a huge room with a lot of weight to it because of the history of it, and a lot of people that are just staring at you. Like, it's not a typical show where, like, even tonight we're in Tallahassee, Florida, and I'm playing a show, and it's you know, standing room. So it's going to be like a fun vibe. We'll get drinks, hanging out, talking, doing their thing. Versus the Opry, it's like everyone's seated and they're just staring at you, and they are not like clapping, they're not screaming, they're not talking. So every word that you say, they're hanging on to, which is a massive responsibility and also a massive honor. It's like the best place to play music. But yeah, I mean, as time's gone on, I've gotten more comfortable in that room for sure. Like the last time I played was for the Dolly Parton birthday tribute.
Oh, wow.
And so fun. I got to sing Jolene, and I just took a big deep breath before stage, and it felt like another day, which was really, really cool to get to say at the Opry. So yeah, I feel like, you know, over time I've gotten more used to it, but the first time was definitely
nervous. It's amazing, like you say, because you have this like really shiny stage and the original circle of the wood from the original Ryman where it was. Yeah. And like you say, you just get nervous. You get goosebumps. The history, walking in that little circle. It's just
before you play too, they play you a video of the history of the Opry and where it started and who's all played there, and you hear about people, you know, like Johnny Cash playing there, and people just legends playing in that building. And so it's definitely it's a big honor. It's a big deal. And every time they ask me to play, I'm like, hell yeah. Like, let's go. I'm down to do it.
Amazing. Ashley, thank you so much. Just before you go, very quickly, New music on the way. Any collaborations you can hint at, or anyone you want?
There are collaborations that are coming real soon. I can't quite say, but I will say it's somebody from a different genre that I'm very excited about. So yeah, it's coming out any day now. So
very excited for that. Thank you so much, Ashley. Lovely to see you.
You too, and I'll bring it to see you soon somewhere in the UK or in the States.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.